This is the Word of Truth broadcast, sponsored by Mount Zion Bible Church of Pensacola, Florida. This is Pastor L.R. Shelton Jr. speaking. We count the privilege to be able to come into your home again today with the Word of God which liveth and abideth forever. This weekly broadcast of the Word of Truth is dedicated to the teaching and preaching of the Word of God as it is to men as they are, for the sole purpose of the glorification of our triune God, the edification of God's people, and the salvation of lost souls. We give you an invitation to meet with us each week at this time to partake of God's Word together. Greetings in the name of our lovely Lord, whose we are and whom we serve. Welcome again to another Word of Truth broadcast. Our Bible reading will be found in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning with verse 15. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds, to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for the comfort of Thy holy word, the Scriptures, the Bible, that which Thou hast left us, which tells us of our need of a Savior, tells us of Thy wrath to come, and tells us that Thou hast provided that Lord and that Savior and that Redeemer and Deliverer in the Lord Jesus Christ. And how we pray is Thy name, that Thy word tells us how to live and how to walk as we wait for our Lord from heaven, and that He is coming, and this comforts our hearts. No matter how dark the way may seem, or how Satan may fight, or how the world and the flesh may fly up against us, yet Thou art coming, and our hearts are comforted to know that Thou art coming to get us. Oh, that we'll be able to take this radio audience with us and rise in that day of the resurrection. Oh, Father, and these precious souls will be brought to Thee, and that Thou wilt own them in that day as Thine. Work in their hearts. By Thy Spirit is our cry in Christ's name and for His sake. Amen.
Thank you.
Yes, we praise God that He is our Redeemer, manifested unto us in the Lord Jesus Christ, and that Christ has been given unto us and made by God wisdom for our ignorance, righteousness for our justification, sanctification for our filthiness, and redemption for our enslavement, that all we have is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us and who dwells within the heavenlies now as our reigning King and interceding High Priest. Do you know Christ? Do you rejoice in Him? We're happy that you're with us today. We want to thank you for your letters and gifts received this past week, for the encouragement and support of this Word of Truth broadcast. Letters have been encouraging. We find out others are going through the same spiritual battles that we do. They must cry to the Lord, and we pray for them. Lift them to the throne of God's grace. There are those who are rejoicing in our tape ministry that we circulate and go out across the nation each week. We'd be happy to send you information concerning our circulating tape and cassette ministry if you would write us. We'd like to hear from you. Our mail-in address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. The free book that we're offering this month is entitled The Art of Man Fishing by Thomas Boston. This dear old soul gives a clear and vigorous challenge to each one of our hearts to remain persistent in sharing the gospel with the unsaved. And in this book, he tells us how. It is yours, free and postpaid, if you will write us. Also, these messages that we are delivering on the theme, The True Israel of God, are yours free when they come in print, if you would write us. Our mailing address again, Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And now for God's message. We continue today these series of messages on the subject, The True Israel of God. If you have followed us in our three previous messages, you heard us say that the reason we believe the Lord laid these messages upon our heart was to glorify His precious name in showing that God has an eternal kingdom made up of His blood-bought people, both from the Jews and from the Gentiles, the world over. The Word of God says that this kingdom is in existence now, with Christ sitting upon His throne in heaven, ruling over the affairs of men. We showed you from Scripture that this is the spiritual throne of the greater David, the Lord Jesus Christ, of whom it was spoken that He would sit upon the throne of His father David, whose material throne was a type of this spiritual throne of our Lord Jesus. The promise given to David in 2 Samuel 7 was confirmed by the angel Gabriel to the Virgin Mary in Luke 1 and spoken of by Peter on the day of Pentecost in Acts 2 as now being fulfilled in Christ, as He had risen from the dead and was set down on the right hand in the heavenlies as Lord and Christ, the greater David sitting upon David's throne, and this David himself in the Psalms had prophesied that He would do. This is all found in Acts 2, verses 29 through 36. We showed to you also that the promises made to Abraham concerning his being the father of many nations, Romans 4, 17, 18, was a spiritual promise made to his seed, Christ, Galatians 3, 16, and therefore to those who are in Christ, Galatians 3, 29, who are the spiritual Israel of God. We have also showed to you from Scripture that God was finished with the natural nation of Israel after the flesh, having utterly and completely rejected them at Calvary, and the only way He now deals with them is as they come to Him in repentance and faith like the Gentiles. And this is the whole teaching of Romans chapter 11. We also showed to you from the letters that Paul wrote to the Galatians and to the Hebrews that Christ has come in and that He has fulfilled all the Old Testament prophecies concerning the new covenant, and that now the true Israel of God are those who have been born into His kingdom by the new birth and in whose hearts He rules and reigns as Lord and King. I want you to listen now as we go further into these messages. And I would say that it was in order for us today to show from the Scriptures, as the Holy Spirit gives us utterance, that the kingdom of God, catch it now, the expressions in the Scriptures, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, and the kingdom of our Lord is one and the same thing, and that this kingdom is a spiritual kingdom and means the rule, the authority, the supremacy of Christ in the hearts of men, those who have entered into this kingdom by the new birth. Let us go to the Gospel of Luke and see how the expression "the kingdom of God" is used there. And thereby we'll be showing to you how the expression "the kingdom of heaven" in the Gospel of Matthew is used. Because these expressions, as I said, are synonymous. They mean the same thing. You following us? Won't you listen? In the Gospel of Luke, the expression "the kingdom of God" is used in five different ways to show us its full meaning. Listen now. Listen now as to what it means. It means God's kingship. It means His rule or sovereignty, recognized in the hearts and operative in the lives of His people and affecting their complete salvation. Did you catch it? The kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom of our Lord in Savior Jesus Christ, whatever expression you want to use, means God's kingship, His rule or sovereignty, recognized in the hearts and operative in the lives of His people and affecting their complete salvation. Now watch as this unfolds according to the Gospel of Luke. First, Luke speaks about preaching or proclaiming the kingdom of God. In Luke 4:43, we read, "Christ said unto them, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." In Luke 8:1, we read, "And it came to pass afterward that Christ went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God." This thought is also brought out in Luke 9:2 and Luke 16:16. Watch it now. This truth of preaching the present rule and reign of God in the hearts of men was preaching the gospel, and it is brought out so clearly in Mark 1, verses 14 and 15 in these words, "And Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye, and believe the gospel." Our Lord was not preaching that He had come to set up an earthly or a material or a physical kingdom, but that He had come, commissioned by God the Father, to establish a spiritual kingdom in the hearts of His people. And this would be accomplished by the gracious gospel of the grace of God toward poor, hell-deserving sinners who would repent and believe Him as the King, the Messiah, the one sent down from heaven, the Savior, God's substitute for sinners. You're listening, aren't you? Second, Luke speaks about entering the kingdom of God. Watch that word entering now. In Luke 18, 24 and 25, we read, when Christ saw that the rich young ruler was sad and very sorrowful, he said, how hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through a needle's eye than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And he goes on further and tells us, it, with man it is impossible. Our Lord clarifies this with these words. The only way in which we can enter into the kingdom of God is recorded for us in John 3, verses 3 and 5, in these words by our blessed Lord. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. Did you catch it? This rules out anyone entering into this kingdom of God except by the new birth, by the direct operation of the Spirit of God upon the heart, making that individual a new creature, and giving him a new heart and nature over which Christ rules as King. In this connection, we must see how this truth of the expression of the kingdom of God is brought out by Brother Paul in the epistles as he wrote under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we will find him teaching the same thing that his blessed Lord did. In 1 Corinthians 15:50 we read, now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. And to me, dear friend, this rules out a earthly, fleshly kingdom, a material kingdom of any thousand years here upon earth. You see, our friends who claim that there will be an earthly kingdom made up of the Jews after the flesh, and also made up of those nations who were friendly to the Jew, and who somehow had miraculously come through a so-called battle of Armageddon. I say these individuals who teach this cannot get around this scripture that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Ask any one of them and they will tell you that there will be four classes of people in the so-called earthly kingdom of Christ. There will be believers with their new bodies. There will be believers with their old bodies, still with their corrupt nature. There will be those who are unsaved, who are likely to be saved, and then there are those who are rebels at heart and will continue forever be rebels against God. Away with such things. This is not taught in God's Word. Now let's go further. Also, there are other scriptures which bring out the same truth. In 1 Corinthians 6, 9 and 10 we read, know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. So again we see that only by the new birth can you enter in the kingdom of God, whether you be Jew or Gentile. Listen to the 11th verse. And such were some of you, but you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So we see again that the expression the kingdom of God means a spiritual kingdom, and that the only way that we can get into this kingdom is to be made holy in Christ. For there is nothing that entereth into that kingdom that worketh abomination or maketh a lie, according to Revelation 21:27. Now listen to Ephesians 5:5. For we know that no whoremonger, no unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. Watch it now. Beside proving again that no unsaved soul is in the kingdom of God, and that it is a spiritual kingdom, we also have in this verse written for us very plainly that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ is the same thing. It's the same kingdom. This scripture should forever shut the mouth of those who claim that the kingdom of God and the kingdom of Christ are two different kingdoms. That the kingdom of God is the Father ruling over the Jew, and that the kingdom of heaven is Christ ruling over his people. No. They are one and the same, and this one kingdom, call it what you will, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, or the kingdom of our Lord, is a spiritual kingdom. Let us go back to the Gospel of Luke again and look at the third thing he tells us about the kingdom of God. In Luke 12:31, we read, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33 puts it like this, "Seek ye first the king, the kingdom of God, and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Here we are shown the necessity of seeking the kingdom of God. And when are we to seek it? Let 2 Corinthians 6:2 give us the answer. Watch it. "I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation." You see, dear friend, the kingdom of God, his rule over your heart and life in salvation, is to be sought now. Because when Christ comes the second time, that ends it all. Then it will be too late. There will be no second chance after our Lord comes. Why? For then the day of judgment is going to be ushered in, and the great white throne will be set up. There is no second chance. Let me cry loud and lift up my voice against this teaching that tells us that there will yet be a chance after Christ comes, a chance for men to be saved in a so-called 7 years tribulation period or 1,000-year reign of Christ upon earth. This is false. The Scripture knows nothing about this. It does not teach it. The parable of the 10 virgins, as well as the rest of the New Testament, teaches that when Christ comes, the door will be shut. Therefore, we are told to watch, for we'll never have that chance again. Listen, "While they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward also came the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh." Again, the fourth thing Brother Luke tells us about the kingdom of God is that it is spiritual, that it is within us. Listen to Luke 17:20-21. "And when Christ was demanded of the Pharisees when the kingdom of God should come, he answered and said, The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, neither shall they say, Lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is within you." I ask, what is the meaning of these verses? Let me answer. The Pharisees and their many followers were looking forward to the arrival of an outward, earthly, sensual kingdom, one in which the Jews would occupy a very prominent place. They were hardly able to wait for its arrival. So anxious were they to know when it would be established that they were willing to obtain this information from anyone, even Jesus, whom they had made their enemy. Our Lord, however, in his answer told them that they had a misconception concerning the nature of the kingdom, as if it would arrive with loud proclamations, prancing horses, marching armies, parading bands. Briefly, that it would arrive with outward show. If that were true, he said, then people would greet its arrival by shouting, "Here it is! There it is!" But our Lord declares that the kingdom, or kingship, or reign, or rule of God is basically spiritual in its essence. It is within, inside a person. For you see, wherever God is truly recognized and honored as king, there one finds his kingdom or kingship. Let me repeat it again. The kingdom of God in his Christ consists of inner qualities such as righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit, qualities that exist wherever God is recognized as King, according to Romans 14:17. You see, the same mistake is being made today. Men are looking for an outward kingdom of pomp and splendor, and they are looking for white horses and all kind of things with outward pomp and splendor and victories and battles. God's kingdom is not coming like this. God said himself in Matthew 21:22, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. It was taken from the Jew as a nation and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And what nation was he given to? It was given to that nation of believers. 1 Peter 2:9, he's made us a holy nation. Nation of believers who would bring forth the fruits of righteousness, of peace, and of joy in the Holy Spirit. This is, my friend, the kingdom of God. So you're wasting your time looking to the Near East and looking to what happened and what happened to the Jew, for God is finished with the Jew. He is not God's time clock. You better cry unto God for mercy and cry that you will come into his kingdom now. For God's kingdom is a spiritual kingdom entered into by repentance and by faith. And this kingdom is in the Lord Jesus Christ. And all of the promises pertain to that heavenly thing, that heavenly kingdom that God is going to bring those into who have bowed to the authority and lordship of Christ in this present spiritual rule of Christ in the heart. You've listened. And I believe God by His Spirit has dealt with our hearts. Rate us if we can help you. If you want a copy of these messages when we put them in print. Our mailing address is Word of Truth, 2703 West Wright Street, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. Until this time next week, goodbye, and may God bless you.